of all things, no good.
That was rather big last night. That was the Brandon Aubrey missed field goal with about 28 seconds to go with the Cowboys up five. If you didn't know, and I'm assuming that many of you did know, the Cowboys were 5.5-point favorites. Now, the number was, you know, fluctuating all week. Some people may have had them at six. Some people may have had them at 4.5 or five and gotten the push or even the win. But that was a significant kick because Brandon Aubrey had never missed a kick from 50 yards out or longer. He had hit a 60-yarder early in the game. And by the way, did you notice when he kicked that 60-yarder? It was like a wedge shot. Like, it's such a little easy, you know, punch of a shot. It's not like he's giving and exerting that much effort. He clearly has a chance, if they get in range, to boot the all-time longest field goal. 66 yards is the longest. He had a 65-yarder last week. I mean, it's like he's got, you know, a 60-degree on a 60-yard field goal. It doesn't even look like much effort. But the 51-yard chip shot, which it really is for him, that thing pushed so far right. Came back a little bit at the end. But for those that had the Giants plus the number, winner, thank you, Mike McCarthy, for even attempting the field goal. I think that was kind of stupid. I'll get to that here in a moment. We'll talk a little bit about last night's game. It was a big game and a big win for the Cowboys. A couple of incredible individual performances in the Thursday night game, which was a weird game, actually, altogether. It's a Football Friday, Washington, Arizona, Sunday, 4:05. Can't wait for it. I was super excited about the Monday night game. Now that they've won that game and they're 2-1, the opportunity to get to 3-1 on the season, especially if they play well again offensively, which is the only way I think they can get to 3-1. But that would be a lot of fun to see here through almost a quarter of the season. Washington, Arizona, Sunday, 4:05. I'll have my Washington beats Arizona if coming up on the show. Denton and I will make picks. I got a smell test that involves not as many games as last week. There aren't a lot of obvious NFL sides, although last night may have been obvious, and I may have missed an opportunity. But we've got a couple of guests on the show. Terps have a big game tomorrow at Indiana. Indiana's undefeated. Maryland's got that one loss. This is kind of a game between that second tier of Big Ten teams, you know, after Oregon, after Ohio State, and not that Maryland's in that category yet with Penn State, and I would put Penn State in the upper category right now. They may not be in the second tier with USC, Michigan, Illinois, who knows, but they're close to that, and this will determine which of these two teams can go on and potentially have like an 8-win season, maybe a 9-win season, versus, you know, a 6 or a 7-win season. Big game for the Terps tomorrow. Steve Suter, who will be on the call with the legend, Johnny Holiday, tomorrow right here on the Team 980, will join us at 11 a.m. We'll have Ben on the show per usual on Fridays at 12. And then Bill Barnwell will join us today on the show at 12:30. Bill, of course, covers the NFL for ESPN. We'll talk some NFL topics, including what he wrote about last week, which is kind of the era of the dual threat quarterback. We have one here in Washington. So I want to read this real quickly. This comes from my my friend Daniel, who communicates with me a lot on betting. I've read some of his, you know, emails in the past, but he sent me this. Kevin, how the hell did you pass on the Giants tonight? They were the perfect smell test pick. Yeah, they weren't, though. If they were, I would have given the Giants out. I, you know, definitely leaned the Giants. And, you know, the bottom line is if you had played it probably, you know, within a half an hour or prior to kickoff, you probably would have gotten the number at five and pushed. But if you had played it earlier at 5.5, 6, you know, you probably won. Good for you. Look, I thought all week, Denton knows this, I thought all week I was going to give out the Giants. But there were, you know, I get a report, not the ones you guys read on internet sites. I get, you know, actual information from some of the biggest offshore books. And there were some really smart guys that were on the Cowboys earlier in the week at 4.5. And when I see the line jump like that, that's typically not the smell test criteria. I like to see that line stay at 4.5, maybe even go down and try to incentivize more people to bet on the Cowboys. Look, the game went off with an overwhelming number of public bettors on Dallas, but a lot of the sharp money was mixed in the places where I get information. That's why I stayed off it. I didn't even play it personally. Forget about night. Look, I care more about the picks I give out on the show than I do about my own personal bets, which match the bets I give out on the show, but usually include a few more right before kickoff. I stayed off the game last night. I didn't play it. It was a weird game. I'm going to start with this. What is it about the Cowboys and penalties? And by the way, they got a penalty called against the Giants in the first half of that game that was ridiculous. They called a face mask on Bellinger against number 13 for the Cowboys. They got it wrong. You guys that watch the game, no, they got it wrong. They actually called the face mask on the wrong guy. It should have been on the Cowboys defender, not Bellinger. Bellinger got his face mask grabbed and twisted, and they called it on the Giants. On Bellinger, number 82, that's a 30-yard swing on a massive drive on a game that was super close. I thought, Denton, that, you know, especially in these, you know, standalone games, I thought New York is supposed to, you know, immediately call down to the referees. We've seen this a few times already. We saw it on the screen to Dowdle that he scored on. They called holding. They picked it up. Because the New York told him to pick it up. How did they miss that? It was so awful in terms of the result to the Giants. A 30-yard, you know, swing and penalties. They clearly messed it up and called it on the wrong guy on a play that did involve a face mask. Why didn't we get that called in from New York? Denton?
Are you asking me? I have no idea. They should have called. I have no idea why they didn't do that. I don't have the billion-dollar answer to that. It was idiotic. I don't know how they missed something like that.
That was ridiculous. I really didn't have a dog in the fight from a betting standpoint. I was rooting, though, for the Giants. I wanted to see chaos in Dallas. I mean, they pick up the flag on the hold on the touchdown pass to Dowdle, on the screen to Dowdle, and then they miss that face mask? It just made no sense. The worst part of that was that the Giants didn't really throw a fit. It's like it totally went over their heads. Like, nobody was saying to Dable in his headset, they called it on the wrong guy. It wasn't our guy, it was the other guy. You know, throw the challenge, can't challenge a penalty, but get their attention that they actually messed it up. They made a mistake. But by the way, back to just the penalties. Dallas, I think, has been in the top three or top four in penalties against every year during the McCarthy era. The team's undisciplined. You know, I don't know what coaches would say to that, you know, whether or not they would say, yeah, that's kind of on us. A lot of them are self-inflicted. A lot of them are pre-snap penalties a lot of the time. They had another 11 last night. I just think that they are very undisciplined as a team, typically. I don't have a lot of faith in the Cowboys being a threat in the NFC. I'm not saying that they can't go win 10 games again. They seem to be able to win 10 games, 11 games, 12 games every year, but they're just teams that I think are just much better coached teams. You know, if it looking forward down the road, like I would definitely take San Francisco. Well, they've, you know, they've taken the Cowboys out a couple of times in the postseason with Kyle at the helm. I would definitely think that a good Minnesota team late in the year is just better coached with Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores. I think the Lions are to a certain degree, I guess. The Packers definitely are. Look, this is not an objective viewpoint because I'm not clearly, you know, a Dallas backer as a Washington fan. But I'd be so frustrated at this point if I were a Cowboy fan. I'd be relieved that they won the game last night. But they just, they don't look impressive right now. And you know what's coming down the road, even if they do look impressive. So real quickly on that final decision and that final missed field goal, I think the right thing there is to punt. When he kicked the field goal, I think when they lined up to kick it, first of all, they rushed him out there. They could have called a timeout to let him get relaxed. They kind of rushed him out there, and that may be one of the reasons he missed the kick. But with the Giants having no timeouts and needing a touchdown, it seems to me that the best opportunity for the Giants is for them to kick the field goal, miss it, even though it seemed like the odds were pretty low that he would miss the field goal, and then take over near midfield after a missed 51-yarder, take over at the 41-yard line with 28 seconds to go. That's your best chance. Because if they punt the football, by the time the punt play is over, it's somewhere inside the 20, you would think. Maybe it goes into the end zone and it comes out to the... Likely than not, you're going to be able to pin him somewhere inside the 20. It's a play that takes longer than the field goal, which means the Giants are going to take over with about 25 seconds to go inside their own 20 with no timeouts, needing a touchdown with Daniel Jones. And by the way, at that point, no Malik Nabers because he had been concussed. Like, what are the chances of them, you know, pitching it around 15 times and scoring? Maybe better than Aubrey missing the field goal. I don't know. But I would have punted it in that spot. I think the best chance the Giants had was a missed field goal, which ended up happening, even though the odds on that were pretty long. And if he had made the field goal and they're up eight, they still have to kick off and you're susceptible to maybe a big return. I would have punted. The Giants didn't do much once they got the ball back at their own 41-yard line. Amazing that they couldn't do something. Like, I always wonder, they took a couple of shots. It's like, throw the ball over the middle, get the 15 to 20-yarder that they're going to give you, go up and spike it, and at least, worst case, you got a shot at the end zone on a Hail Mary at the end of the game. But they didn't do that. I thought that there were a couple of outstanding individual performances. And you start with Malik Nabers. My God, this guy's off to the best start for a rookie receiver in NFL history in terms of targets, in terms of receptions. He was targeted another 15 times last night, 12 catches, 115 yards. On the night. Now, he got concussed very late in the game. And by the way, you could see once that guy landed on him, he was out. And so hopefully he'll be okay. But through four games, the dude's been targeted 52 times. 13 targets on average a game in his first four. He's got 35 catches. I mean, he's on pace for 150 receptions. That's crazy. And he's really an excellent route runner. There are a couple of moves. Did you see the move he made early in the game when they hit the one deep one to him, Denton? I mean, I forget who was covering him. I don't think it was Diggs. It was somebody else. The guy literally fell down. He is an unbelievable route runner. Not to mention he's such a great vertical threat, and he's excellent as a yards after catch guy. The Giants, that performance by him last night, again, I mean, he's been that for the first four games of the season. I also thought that for the most part, Daniel Jones looked competent. And I think he's looked competent since week one. I'm not saying he's a good quarterback, but he is a starting quarterback in the NFL when you have an offensive line and you've got a guy like Malik Nabers on your team. It's like a totally different guy the last 3 weeks. At one point, he was like 20. I think at one point he was 22 of 25. He ended up 29 of 40 for 281. Dak looked fine. CeeDee Lamb went to him early and often. But man, I'm not blown away by the Cowboys. They have a big game next Sunday night against the Steelers on the road. The Steelers have a very interesting game this week. Their game might be involved in a smell test pick, but the Cowboys go Steelers, Lions, 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, and then us, you know, over the next seven games. I don't know. It's early. Things change. They got back late with CeeDee Lamb, obviously, in camp. I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys right now. You have any thoughts on last night's game?
I do think I slightly, while I understand where you're coming from with the field goal punt situation, I think I slightly disagree because I think once Nabers is out, you're kind of like daring the Giants to do something offensively. Now, obviously, the perfect scenario is you make that kick and you go up eight and you're basically saying there's no chance they can march down the field in any capacity, score a touchdown, and then go for two with that guy at quarterback. Because I do feel like Daniel Jones is better than people perceived him to be at the start of the season, but I definitely still think there are people more than likely on that Dallas sideline that still perceive him to not be very good.
Am I missing something here? Are you agreeing with me? You would have punted it too?
No, I would. I agree with kicking the field goal. You just want your guy to make it.
I thought you said they're not going to go a long distance with Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers off the field. That's my thought. I would have, like, to me, there's like 0% chance if you punt it that Daniel Jones with no Malik Nabers on the field with no timeouts in 25 seconds, because a punt is a longer play, potentially, that they can score.
Right, but I feel the same way once you go up eight, because then you know they have to go get the two-point conversion as well.
I get that. But the best chance that the Giants have, and maybe the only chance of life for them, is the
missing
improbable.
The kick.
Okay, yeah. I get it. Like, it's a long shot that he's going to miss the field goal. He's never missed a field goal from that length. But like, that's their only chance. I would have taken the zero chance over the 1% chance, because he wasn't going to miss that field goal. I get it. 23-15, 8-point lead. You're going to kick. They're going to be, you know, come out to the, you know, you probably, I don't know what they would have done with the kickoff. Would they have kicked it in the landing zone? Would they have given them the ball at the 30? But with a punt, to me, that's like a guarantee that the game is over, versus having the risk of, you know, it's possible he could miss the field goal. Not probable, though. I would have said there's no way that they're going, you know, 90 yards in 25 seconds if we can punt it down to the 10-yard line or 12-yard line or whatever.
I was also very upset that, you know, I did make a wager on this game. I didn't play the spread, but I put a prop bet in on Devin Singletary to have a lot of rushing yards because Dallas's running defense sucks.
Yeah.
And then they play the best game of the year on the – I mean, they held New York to 1.1 yard per carry. Singletary himself was 1.7.
They were up in that box last
night. They
stacked
it.
They were like, we will take Daniel Jones and even Malik Nabers. And by the way, Wandale Robinson had 11 catches in the game and dropped three passes. I mean, right in his hands, including a huge one on their next to last drive. It was that third down before they went for the fourth down, I think, because the fourth down play was the play I think Nabers got hurt on. But the third down, Robinson won over the middle. Daniel Jones made a perfect throw. And it was right in his hands, and he's off to the races. Like, they're going to be inside the Dallas 20-yard line, and he dropped it. I'm looking at his numbers, 11 catches, 71 yards, 14 targets. I would bet you all three of the non-catches on the 14 targets were drop passes.
It's crazy, too, because he threw 40 times, and 29 of them were to Nabers and Robinson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty insane statistic.
Yeah, he had a big one to Slayton. Slayton was 3 for 56 with a 28-yarder. Slayton actually stumbled a little bit, or he would have, I think, had a bigger gain on that. God, it's so early in the season. But you're right. Dallas decided they were not going to get gashed for a third straight week on the ground by a team in the Giants who actually had run the ball pretty well the last couple of weeks, especially against us. And they, you know, and because of it, the Giants moved the football through the air. You know, they ended up with 281 yards through the air, but just 26 yards rushing on 24 carries. Wow. I didn't know it was that. 1.1 yards per carry. Do you know who I think looks really good and in a much different physical condition? I think we talked about this after week one, but he is definitely the backup. But I think Zeke looks good when he runs the football right now for the Cowboys. Dowdle is their number one back. Zeke is the backup. But he looks – somebody told me this. Was it my guy Kenny or was it Clay that he had lost 15 pounds in the offseason? It looks like he lost more than that.
Everybody lost 15 pounds this offseason. Lamar lost 15 pounds. Zeke lost – like everyone that has lost any sort of weight this offseason lost 15 pounds, except for Emmanuel Forbes, who gained 15 pounds.
I don't think 15 is the
magic number.
Yeah, but – doesn't he look physically totally different to you?
I think he does. I'm not like full on Zabe with this sort of stuff, but I do think the 15 just kind of is more of a slimming number than the 21 was, and I don't think he's wearing as much accessories, shall we say.
You think the jersey number makes him look slimmer?
I think he has lost weight, but I think the jersey helps with that.
I agree with that. I think single digit jersey numbers, players always look slimmer. All right. I want to talk about where we are right now in our recalibration of our recalibration, meaning they won a game on Monday night that was a bit of a conversation changer, and I talked about that earlier in the week. I talked about how I thought it would be a conversation changer if you go into Cincinnati and the quarterback plays well and the offense plays well and you win the game to get to 2-1. And now, you know, my focus, honestly, and I've said this for a couple of weeks, once we get into the season, I'm not thinking about 25 or 26. That's Adam Peters' job to think about 25 and 26. And by the way, Adam Peters is thinking about the future, but trust me, he's thinking also about, let's beat the Cardinals. Let's get into contention right away. Let's have big games this year so our young guys can grow and mature even faster. You grow faster, you learn more by playing 17 meaningful games rather than, say, 10 or 11 meaningful games. And I'm all in right now on the present. They have a very dynamic offensive football team with a quarterback that looks like he's ready to deliver the goods right now. Maybe we'll see whether or not it's consistent, but we've saw what the upside is on Monday night. And the defense is a massive limiting factor. Totally understand that. But I think this season's in play right now. I think, right, you know, the NFC East has a team in the Giants that's not good. The Cowboys, I think, don't look great. The Eagles, I think that was impressive what they did against New Orleans, and I think Philadelphia is better than they were last year. I've said that before the season and through three games, even though they lost that Monday night game to Atlanta. This is a big spot for them, by the way, Sunday at Tampa. Big game in the NFC in general. Philly at Tampa on Sunday. But I look around and I'm like, you know, they got a chance to win more games than they lose. I was at 10-7 before the year started. I'm not coming off of that. I'll tell you this, I don't feel as good about it, believe it or not, as I did before the season started, which it wasn't that I felt so good about it. It was more just of a hunch and a belief that the quarterback would be the real deal. And if you have a quarterback that is the real deal, you're going to, you know, I think for the season, nobody goes 5-12 or 6-11 with terrible quarterback play. And I just didn't see that. So that's why I just went all in at 10-7. What was your preseason prediction? 9-8, 8-9?
Yeah, I think it was 9-8.
Yeah. So at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, have you recalibrated on your preseason prediction? Do you think this season is now in play? Are we looking at a playoff contending team? Tell me what you think now. Sunday's big. You know, this is a winnable game on paper. And I'll give you my keys next hour to a win over the Cardinals on Sunday. But I see this as a winnable game for sure. But even now, going into it, where do you have them now? Give me your recalibrated season record and whether or not they'll contend for an NFC playoff spot. 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. Our coverage on the Team 980 on this Football Friday is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. I had 10-7 before the season started. Look, that was a hunch. I wasn't necessarily basing it on anything other than the hunch that the quarterback might be ready sooner than people thought. So far, so good on that. I'm not coming off 10-7. I'll leave it there. I will be perfectly honest and say I actually feel less confident about 10-7, and I was never that confident about it to begin with. But when you have such an awful defense, it's gonna be, and you can't afford to punt. Like, how many more games is Tressway going to be held on the sidelines except for holding for extra points? Like we talked about yesterday, Denton, if they had punted one time in the Giant game, one time in the Cincinnati game, they'd be 0-3. And when there's that little margin for error, I think we're looking at probably something around 8 wins or 9 wins right now, realistically. But I'm going to stick with 10 and hope that Joe Witt Jr. finds an answer defensively so that they're just bad rather than horrifically awful. Because if it remains what it is, it's going to be really hard to win more than they lose, but I do think they could get right to that, you know, fine line of 8-9, 9-8. But I'm going to stick with 10-7, and I think Sunday's crucial. You know, you get off to a 3-1 start. You know, you got opportunities down the road, catching teams at the right time versus the wrong time. We'll see how that all plays out. But where have you recalibrated to, if you've recalibrated at all? Denton was at 9-8 before the season started. Where are you today?
So I went back and looked. I think I was actually 8-9. So I was just one shy of 500. And I'm going to stay there because of the things that you mentioned. Having to score on every single drive to win, I don't believe is sustainable. I would have never anticipated they would go, 14 drives in a row scoring any sort of points. That's insane. I'm so happy for Jaden Daniels. But I'm still, at least through the first 3 weeks, I'm still going to stay at 8-9.
Yeah, I'm looking at our preseason predictions here. So you were 8-9. We each had 3 bold predictions to go with it. Mine was Brian Robinson, 1,200-plus rushing yards, makes Pro Bowl. Zach Ertz, 80-plus catches. And where is this? Daron Payne will have a monster year. You were Terry Setts' franchise receiving yards record, Jamin Davis over 5.5 sacks. Ben Sinnott will be tight end number one by the end of the year. Our record predictions are pretty good so far, right now. We're in play for those. Our bold predictions, well, they were bold for a reason. Right now, not trending in the right direction. But we have time. 301-230-0980. Let's start with Brad. Brad, where were you before the season? Where are you now?
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
What's up, Brad? How have you been?
I've been well. Hey, on the Giants game real quick too, man. I mean, I know it doesn't happen a lot, but that kick can definitely get blocked. You can definitely fumble and snap. So that adds a little layer there. You know, put yourself in arms right there. But no. Hey, so yeah, I started at 7 before the season, and I'm not changing it. Just to your point, I mean, it's just too many things have to happen in that scenario where every week, you know, a receiver's going to drop a ball. You're going to have a holding penalty. You're just going to have things that happen during the games that aren't going to lead to Monday's production. It's not a sustainable model, you know what I mean? And defenses catch up, and the defense is just so bad that it's just not a I think they're going to – the quarter was about progression with the quarterback, and I think we got the quarterback. I think that's what this year was about. But I don't see how it changes the outcome of what I thought before the season. But real quick, Kevin, and we talk about this like we, ad nauseum over 20 years. You don't have to stink to rebuild, it's my opinion. You don't have to take 5 years. It doesn't have to take this long progress. Like, why not have fielded a better defense in the offseason? Like, I get some of the stuff. You want to have money, but you couldn't have thought that this secondary was going to have a better outcome than last year. It's the same secondary, minus maybe some guys that were cast off elsewhere. Like,
right.
Why not have addressed it more? You know what I mean? Like, why go out there with this?
Well, the most money they spent, the most money they spent was on defense. You know, Armstrong, Farrell, Fowler, Luvu, Wagner, Chin.
Right. I get it. You know, I get it, Kevin, but that's just Jack. You're not, I'm not saying that they spent money, but was it good money, right? And the important position is corners. And I just don't, I know, I'm not going to pick Peyton Peters because he's got a long way to go. I just feel like if they knew that these, if you knew you had your quarterback, like they had to have known they got a guy. Like, go have yourself a season while you're rebuilding. Why just field like the 32nd seed? It just, I don't know. I mean, I get it from a salary cap standpoint, Kevin. Just to me, I feel like we could have maybe done a little bit better.
I guess I'm trying to think, Brad. You know what I mean? Who was out there at corner in free agency? I mean, it's a while ago. Can you remember who was out there? I mean, they signed Mike Davis. I mean, you know, that was it.
Yeah, it's Snead.
That's
expensive. Right. Snead was expensive.
Snead was expensive.
Well, Stephon Gilmore, Xavien Howard, all those guys. Old, but they're out there.
From a salary standpoint. You know, I get it, Kevin. Like, you don't want to blow money on guys just to have guys. You just feel like the tape was out on Forbes. You know, St. Juice is a solid corner, but he's not. Like, there were things that maybe I get it. You're not going to go out. I don't know, man. I'm picking Kevin. I'm happy with progression, and I think we got our quarterback. And that's
Minnesota should have been potentially, because they were in the market for a rookie quarterback. And if J.J. McCarthy stays healthy, I actually still think that Sam Darnold was going to start the season. But, you know, people would have been itching before the season started to see J.J. McCarthy. They may have gotten a huge break with his injury, so there wasn't any pressure to play him early. Now, they got off to a good start here. But, man, they didn't treat this year in terms of their acquisitions and in terms of their offseason strategy like a rookie quarterback season. They didn't at all. Now, they have Justin Jefferson. They have Jordan Addison. They'll have TJ Hockenson coming back. They had some good defensive talent last year, and the scheme was better. But, man, they went out and got Van Ginkle. They got Greenard. They got Aaron Jones. Like, they really went for it, you know, in the offseason, rather than look at it as a developmental year for the young quarterback, including, by the way, paying $10 million for Darnold. So, good point. Let's go to Chad in Nashville. Chad, hope things are well down there, man. My sister told me it is raining.
Oh my gosh, Kevin. It is. I mean, it is absolutely pouring. I mean, you can't even drive on the interstate right now. It's pulling up by the river over here by Opry Mills. Like, it's bad. But hope everything's good up there. I ain't talked to you this week. I just want to say, Monday, man, I was listening to your podcast with Tom, that late one, and holy crap, I was just, like, so ecstatic, man. I haven't felt that way. I don't think I've ever felt that way. You know, my wife was telling me real quick that she was like, I was like, I think we're going to get whooped. They're going to score 5 touchdowns. She goes, no, they'll probably play good enough, and you're going to think they're going to win, and then something's going to happen, and they lose. And that's how I've been programmed for years to think that that's going to happen. I kept thinking something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And it didn't. And when he threw that touchdown, I woke my kids up. I was screaming. Like, I was just so happy. I haven't had a quarterback like this my whole life as a Skins fan, I feel like. Even RG3, even Kirk. Yeah. So I don't think my expectations have changed. Here's why. We keep saying, you know, yes, I agree. Monday, if we would have punted, we probably would have lost that game. But I could also say, as far as the defense goes, if we can get a couple punts or cause a couple punts, then we'll also be, you know, even better. That's why I feel like I don't think this defense is going to be just the worst defense all year. This defense can get a little better. We have to remember how many new players there are, a new scheme. There's a lot of things that go into it. You had 10-7. I had 8-9. I think I'm going to go to 9-8. I think they're going to teeter right around yours, right around Denton's, and we'll have a chance. Maybe that Dallas game at the end of the year, that might be a really big game. I'm really hoping that that's what's going to happen. I think the defense will be fine. I know we're concerned, but don't you think that this it can't stay this way, right? I mean,
the problem I'm having with the defense is that sometimes it's a little bit misleading, like they're doing some things well and they're just getting unlucky, or, you know, they're overly aggressive and they're getting burned, but you kind of feel like that may pay off. I mean, in three games, they've only forced three punts. I mean, remember, the Bucs only punted once. The Giants only punted twice.
Yeah.
And look, the Giants win that game with a field goal kicker. They probably win that game if Malik Nabers, you know, the other front runner for Rookie of the Year, doesn't drop a 4th-and-4. I just don't know where it gets better. I mean, I'm not expert enough to tell you that, oh, no, you're missing out, that St. Juice and Jeremy Chin and Quan Martin, who I thought actually played well the other night, these guys are coming, they're just getting used to the scheme, there's some communication issues, but it'll all be worked out by week 5 or 6. Okay, I'm going to have to see some, and here's the other part of it, like, they're playing a quarterback, and when I get to my keys to the game, this obviously is going to be at the top of the list, that is just absolutely deadly off schedule. And they can't cover in rhythm, you know, in the actual, you know, way the play is supposed to go, let alone once a guy gets off schedule and you got Marvin Harrison running around free. And by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, James Conner is probably licking his chops. Like, I can probably get 160 on these guys. And then Cleveland runs the ball well, and the Ravens run the ball well. And then if Dalton's still quarterbacking for the Panthers, that's a totally different situation than before. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't see where the change is. But I'm not saying that it won't happen. I'm just not smart enough to figure out how it will happen. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Aveen. Aveen, go ahead. Have you changed your thinking on this season from where it was before the season?
Hi, Kevin. I had 10-7 before this season. And if I'm being honest, that was just mainly me hoping everything I thought could go right went right. But I feel more confident now in 10-7 because of the quarterback and the coordinator. I thought our offense could be good, but more in kind of like a system way that we're a really good zone read team, a good running team. But Jaden Daniels has exceeded my expectations for where he is, how fast he is. And I'm just so confident that the guy we saw on Monday is the guy we're going to see this season. His play clearly translates. He already shows so much advanced stuff where I just don't see it dropping off. Like, his accuracy isn't going to drop off. His anticipation isn't going to drop off. The velocity on his throws isn't going to drop off. His pre-snap ability, you know, all of that. And his ability to go, you know, what he showed on Monday, to go mano-a-mano with another good quarterback, with another good offense. You know, I have rival fans, Eagles fans, texting me saying, how are we going to stop this guy on 3rd and 4th down? It's like a cheat code. Like, either he'll find somebody open, he has a quick release, or he'll scramble, and he's like one of the most elusive runners. So just that gives me so much belief. And then with the defense, I wasn't expecting the defense to be this bad, especially with the acquisitions of Wagner and Luvu. Those are two of the best run defenders, and I thought our run defense would be a strength for sure. But there's hope because there's a lot of young guys, especially in the defensive backfield, but a lot of guys with early round talent, early round speed, and there's a lot of new pieces. So maybe it just takes some time for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. Thanks for the call, Aveen, as always. You do a great job. I, I, That's the part I'm kind of holding out hope on, is that this is a take some time, lot of new players on the defensive side of the ball, right? I mean, basically the holdovers are Duran, John, and, you know, at this point, St. Juice and Martin. That's basically it, because Forbes hasn't played. So seven to, you know, the next nine guys are new. You got a new coordinator. And by the way, it's fair to say that Joe Witt Jr.'s never been a defensive coordinator and the chief, you know, play caller defensively. So there may be, you know, an adjustment that he's going through as well. So that would be the hope, is that somehow they get more chemistry, the communication gets better, but the personnel ain't getting a lot better. I don't see. I mean, we haven't seen the pick Jordan McGee yet. We haven't seen him in action. We just have barely started to see Johnny Newton. So there are some guys out there, right? When does Jordan McGee come off IR? Is that after this week?
After at least week four, yeah.
I mean, they loved him all off season, you know, going into camp, super athletic. So there may be a couple of, you know, tricks up their sleeve, but I think the bottom line is they need, the hope is that with more playing time, with more experience, both coaching and playing wise together, that it could get a little bit better. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
I had 7 and 10. I'll go to 8 and 9. Wow. This is a great example of how influential the quarterback is. I, just like your previous callers mentioned, I think the defense will get a touch better. I think the offense will get a touch worse. Like, eventually the defense will force a punt and eventually the offense will punt. So say they both kind of come back down to earth. Jaden Daniels is that dynamic, that good. It'll be interesting. But if you look at it overall, right, like the receiving core, if you had to rank the receiving cores in just the division, you'd say they're fourth. Offensive line, say they're middle of the pack. Like you said, no one really knows who's good or bad. Defense is obviously on the worst end, et cetera. So, like, there's a lot of
factors. Do they have the best quarterback in the division?
That's what I was just going to say. That's going to be the test. Because, again, you can point to Hurts and Dak in their many positive accolades, and then you can see this. And look, we've said this over time. The more time that goes on, the more film that's out on you, et cetera. And your question yesterday, yep, I tried to call in, was when would you know? For me, it's year three, because I need to see, we've seen RG3 and Chase Young win Rookie of the Years turn out to be bust. We've seen Carson Wentz.
That's fair.
Almost an MVP.
That's fair. I don't know about year three. Because if they end up in a playoff game and he plays well, you know, you're going to think it after year one. But if there's some adversity along the way and he handles that really well, I think that you can be sold after year one. I don't think you have to wait till year three, but your examples are good ones. We've had two Rookie of the Years on defense and on offense, and it didn't work out with either one of them. By the way, just as a side note, Chase Young's played pretty well in New Orleans. I haven't seen the advanced numbers, Denton, on Chase Young, but the game, we didn't talk about this, did we? How well and how impactful he was in that game against the Eagles. He looked really good. I'm rooting for him. I have done this before with young people that haven't worked out, and there were a lot of questions about, you know, attitude and maturity. The talent is there. The worst thing is to see somebody throw away talent, or as Doc used to say, hold talent hostage. And he was doing that partly because of the injuries, but partly because of the maturity as well. It'd be nice to see him put it together, although not against us later in the year. All right, for those of you that I didn't get to, I apologize. We are backed up. We got a guest coming up. Actually, you know what? We'll take a break. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll get a couple more calls in. Where are you now versus where you were 3 weeks ago on the prospects for them having a good season? Just tell me what your record was before and what it is now. And the reasons why. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Another rough one for the Nationals. They lose to the Royals 7-4, but they snapped their 31-inning scoreless drought. They scored in the first inning, so that drought is now in the rearview mirror. Patrick Corbin pitched 5 1/3 in what is likely his final start as a National. He did receive a standing ovation when he exited the game. Thursday night football, Dallas defeats the Giants 20-15. Malik Nabers, 12 catches, 115 yards before he left the game with a concussion. Malik Nabers became the first wide receiver in NFL history to have at least 25 receptions and 3 touchdowns through 4 games. He has 35 receptions on the year. Michael Parsons said to have an MRI after injuring his ankle in the game. Elsewhere in the NFL, George Kittle expected to play this weekend for the 49ers, and Debo Samuel is back practicing again. In some sad news in the world of entertainment, Maggie Smith passed away this morning at the age of 89. She was in Downton Abbey, and if you're someone that is my age, you know her as Professor McGonagall in the Harry Potter movies. And that's what's trending.
All right, we've got Steve Suter from the Maryland Football Radio Network calls the games with Johnny Holiday at 11 a.m. We'll talk to him about the Big Terps game tomorrow in Bloomington. That would be Indiana. Big game for both teams. Indiana's look good. They're undefeated. Terps are 7-point dogs. That's coming up at 11. Ben will be with us at 12. Bill Barnwell will be with us at the end of the show. We've got smell test. We've got skins win if all of those things coming up. But just a couple of more calls real quickly. We'll get to those of you that were on hold. Have you recalibrated your preseason prediction on Washington season now that they're 2-1? Frank's in Charlotte. Frank, go ahead.
Yes, I'll make it real quick. Yes, I did. I did amend it. I had it at 7 wins. Now I got it at 4 wins. And it has nothing to do with Jaden. I think Jaden is fantastic. But the thing about it is that defense is so atrocious, and Bobby Wagner can't run anymore, and those two D tackles are stealing money. So the thing about it, and also Benjamin St. Juice is completely trash. You got a guy, you got a zone corner. You're trying to make him play man-to-man. That's not going to work. So that's where I stand right now. I think they'll be picking in the top 5 in the draft this year. And it's not because of Jaden. Jaden, he can only do but so much. But at some point, they're going to figure him out.
Okay. Thanks. That's the optimistic view, it sounds like, from Frank. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning. Have we nicknamed that fourth quarter throw from Jaden?
I haven't. I don't do names and things like that, but
I really feel like that play needs some kind of name, Kevin.
Can we wait on
nicknames? You know, I call it the resurrection.
Naming units until they win games, you know, more than they lose. I think we should wait on that. That's just me. I'd like to continue to be surprised.
I think it's more important than you think it is, Kevin. I think you're dismissing that play.
Because of the fun bunch, because of the hogs, all that stuff that happened, you know, right away. Okay.
No, because Dan Snyder's not here anymore.
It's a memorable throw in what we hope will be down the road, a game we look back on and say, you know what, third game of the year, 2024, Monday Night Football at Cincinnati, the star, Jaden Daniels, was born. The throw,
I would call it the revival.
Do you have a nickname for it?
I call it either the resurrection or the revival, yeah. Dan's not here anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Let's all get over the Dan hangover. Let's get over the Dan hangover. Let's have a Bloody Maria, which is my drink of choice, and so occasionally, and get over it, everybody. I had this team at 0-17. You know, I'm generally have been pessimistic since the Schneider era. I never believed they could do anything with him, as you have communicated to all of us very well as well. It was what do you call it, Kevin? The
suspension of reality. We just suspended
reality
to have football conversations because the reality was it was never, ever going to work with him. But we're beyond that. We're in resurrection mode. And we're drinking tequila in our bloodies. So
I had him at 0-17.
Let me get one more in here. Bob from Ocean City. Down there, OC, hon. Bob, right, go ahead. What's up?
Cloudy Ocean City. Kevin, thanks for your call. You know, I sat in the end zone 55 years. I've seen all kind of good teams, and all of them bled. The toilet's flushed on Snyder, but the odor remains. That odor is you don't have any 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year veterans that been all pro that you drafted. Hey, we're weak at defensive end, really weak. We need that guy Effie Obata. If he's still around, he's, I think, on our IR. Our ends are getting pushed. Our corners are giving up the sidelines. That's how you attack our damn defense. I said 6-11 because I was realistic. Everybody's new, first team, first coach, first this, first right. that. Seen it all, done it all. As Dave Butts used to say, even if you take 50 out of the last 53 that you had last year, it takes defense 4 to 6 to 8 games to mesh. Let's hope it's sooner. My new evaluation is going to be 8 to 9 wins if we get anything out of the defense on the ends and the corners. That's my thought, guys. Out
Thanks,
and simple.
Bob. Appreciate it. Yeah, they got to get a lot more from their DNs and their corners. And they got to get a lot more from Duran and John, too. That's also true. Terps with a big one tomorrow. You'll hear it right here on the Team 980. Steve Suter will be on the call with Johnny. He joins us next.